Hello and welcome to In Conversation. And I have with me as my guest, Nina Kalu. Nina, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Nina, you have a wonderful ministry and it's called Mamas in Need.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about that. What's actually going on there?
So Mamas in Need is a charity that we formed. So I founded a charity a couple of years ago. We formed the charity to help moms and babies in the rural villages in Africa. So providing them with maternity items, maternity equipment, clothing, sanitary items, nappies for the children, and also ensuring that they have the babies in a safe environment.
Wow. So you're talking about the whole of Africa, the continent, or particular area?
That it's the vision is to go around Africa, helping the moms in the rural villages. But at the moment, we've started with Nigeria, because I am Nigerian. So I started with the women that I have come across who needed the help.
Wow. And I'm sure that in certain areas, in the rural areas where they would experience some kind of deprivation, that there's a great need for this.
There is a huge need. A lot of the women have the babies in the village where I've started from. They have the babies in an uncompleted building. It's dark. They have absolutely no facilities at all. So they did reach out to us to help them with anything. So we asked, so what exactly do you need? And they would say, everything. We have nothing. Mm. So we have started giving them the basic equipment, such as stethoscopes and blood pressure monitors and thermometers, just the basic things that we take for granted. Mm. These women want that to be able to do their jobs properly and also to save lives.
So what motivated you to start this ministry?
So I'll go back to 2012. I went back to Nigeria for a holiday. I always have to tell the story because that is where the vision came. That was when the vision came to me. So I was on holiday going from one village to another. I was driving past and I could see children on the road. No clothing. I could see the schools, uncompleted schools, women with their babies on their backs selling things. And then the vision came to me to help these women. So I felt God spoke to me at that point to say that you can be the one that can make the change from what you're seeing. Mm. Again, that was 2012, but we didn't start anything till 2017. Mm. Because at the time I had two children. Came back to the UK after my holiday and just carried on with life and totally forgot about it. Mm-hmm. Not until 2017, I was working on a different project. Then again, God spoke to me again to remind me of what he told me in 2012. So then we started with a registration. We registered as a non-profit organization. We started taking things back to Nigeria to help the women. I made some inquiries on how to start a charity. Again, I was told you need £5,000 to start a charity. I didn't have £5,000. And also, this is now 2017. I have four children now, even less time to do any work. So the paperwork was just enormous for me to read through. So we just started taking things. For me, it was more about helping the women that I came across rather than getting the charity registered. But I knew that I needed to get that done to be able to do things more professionally and legally as well.
I mean, helping mamas in need, it's a wonderful initiative. And obviously you were motivated based on that trip you did in 2012, you said.
That's correct, yes.
But then what's going through my mind is that in an environment in the rural areas that some of those mothers would, I mean, that's their life, that's what they're used to. Mm-hmm. And when you're coming from a Western society and you see that compared to what you live, you'll see the contrast and you think, oh, I've got to do something to help these women. But for many of them, would I be correct in saying that, you know, it might be a struggle, but that's everyday life for them?
In some aspects, yes, it is an everyday life. But when you see mums are losing their children, that is not an everyday life.
Right.
I would say we've had a story of a woman losing her twins. She lost one during at birth and then they were trying to rush the other baby to another hospital and the second one died.
Wow.
That was terrible. I'm a mom and it is a terrible story, really. And this is someone's reality. So for me, that is not an everyday a reality for them. And then we've had another, we've heard of another story where a lady lost her quadruplets. So this is four from the village, and they're dying because they haven't got the basic equipment that they need to have a baby. So they're things that we neglect, things we take for granted. So these are the things that they need. So they're not asking for huge equipment and electrical, because they haven't got electricity anyway, but they're asking for the basic things. So for me, that's saving life and that's showing love. And I think that's why we're all here, to help each other out and show love to one another.
Mm-hmm. So in 2017, you actually were reminded of this call and you started. Mm-hmm. 2 years on, what has been the progress?
Oh, it's been, I would say it's been very successful in the past couple of years. The first year of getting the organisation registered as a non-profit organisation, we were just travelling back and forth with items. So every time I made a trip, I would take old clothing, I would ask a few friends to make some donations. Not till last year, a friend of mine hosted her birthday party and asked a friend as well to make donations to the charity. At the time, we weren't a charity. We weren't called a charity. We were just a non-profit organisation. So she, all her friends came, and we hosted a birthday party for mamas in need, and all of them brought a lot. We had boxes. It looked like we opened a shop. We had boxes of items donated to us. So I would say from October till now, we have had so many people donating items. We've had so many companies who've actually also donated. We've got Vitabiotics, who's giving us pregnant care for the women, vitamins for the baby. Mm. We've had One Vision, who has supported us as well. We've had so many companies. We've had football kits given to us as toddler kits, as clothing for the infants. We've also had football kits as well for adults in the community, for the women's football team and men's, just to support the community. So it has really, really come a long way. I have to say that it'll be nice to take all the glory, but God has played a role in getting the charity where he wants it to be. Yes, I'm very grateful for that.
So it seems like in 2 years, things have just really snowballed, and it seemed like this could be just the tip of the iceberg of what is to come.
Yes.
We'll come back to a little bit later to the mamas in need. Mm-hmm. But in 2012, when you went out to Nigeria and you went to these rural areas and your heart was moved, I mean, mm-hmm. We can all be moved when we see situations like that. But where would you say was the real motivation for you to want to do something like this based on your own life experience?
I'm one of seven. So my mom's got seven children. And I would say that we have had pretty much a comfortable life growing up, to be honest. And I think that God took me there on purpose, for a reason, to be able to see all of that. And again, me being a mum as well, at the time I was just mum of two, I always say to people, I never actually wanted to have a charity. It was never part of the plan. I always wanted to work and make money for myself and just get more and more for myself and my children. But being there on that day and just seeing another mum, and we have also had phone calls about mums who have lost their children, I was moved. I can't say that anything else triggered it, but God speaking to me.
Mm. Where does your spiritual relationship with God come into all of this? What's your spiritual journey been like then?
So I was born a Christian. I'm a Christian. I was born into a Presbyterian church. My parents are both Christians, and so I grew up going to church every Sunday. I was born in London, but I grew up in Nigeria. Mm. So came back to the UK when I was 16. Mm. Again, I was going to a church, but we were going to Church of England. We just went to a local church next to us, just so that we can keep up with the Sunday church going. And then after doing my GCSEs, college, and went into university, once I went into uni, I wasn't going to church, I have to be honest. I just didn't go to church, but I knew that God existed, and I would pray every now and again. When I found myself in situations that I needed help, I would pray to God to help me make some more money. But I didn't really, I would say as a teenager, I didn't really have a good relationship with God. It was more of someone I would always ask for things, not have a relationship with. Yeah. But after university, again, I started to come closer to God. I was going to church again.
So what led to that change then?
There's a friend of mine who goes to a Pentecostal church, and she would often send me devotionals via the post when I was at uni. So I would read them. I would read them, and that's it. And when I come back to London, because I went to university in Wales, so whenever I came home for holiday, she would invite me to church. So if I'm in the mood, I would go. If I'm not in the mood, I would stay home. But once I had my children, I mean, I've always known it was good to go to church, and I knew that I needed to, I knew the Bible because I grew up going to church. But I think after having my children, I thought, actually, I need to ensure that my children grow up in the right way, going to church, not just going to church, but having a good relationship with God, teaching them the benefits of having that spiritual relationship. So I became consistent now with my walk with Christ after having the children.
So you mentioned children. So what is your family set up like then?
So I'm married and I have four beautiful children. I have two boys who are 10 and 11. And I have two girls as well, two girls who are 4 and 5.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's a handful right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned about the important, you've mentioned the children, they're the focus. Mm-hmm. You wanted the best for your children as well. So how did that transition for you as you know, in terms of their education and their choice of school, and how did that impact you?
So my boys, when I had the boys, they were going to a different school in Hertfordshire. I then, after a few years, I had my daughter, so they needed to move to another school. Now they were going to an all-boys school. So I wanted a Christian school as well, because I do go to church, but I have to say I was going to church, but I wasn't spending a lot of time studying the Bible, and I gradually started to build my relationship with God as well. Then I went to the school that would do pretty much the same thing as what I did, or certain things with the way I did things at home, so that they were in line with doing the walk with Christ. So I looked, and the local nearest school to me was Stanborough Park School. So I made an application and the children came into the school. So I started with my two boys at the school. And for me, it's been amazing because the children would come home, and I remember my son coming home and saying, "Mommy," they asked a question about, there was a question in class, and he was the only one who didn't know it, and it was about the Bible. And then someone made a joke and said, "Oh, because you don't go to church." And he felt really bad, and he felt motivated as well to study the Word of God, and they come back home with Bible verses to learn. And I think the best thing you can do for your child is to bring him up in Christ. For me, you know, you raise a child in the way that he should go, and when he grows, he wouldn't depart from that. I was raised up going to church. I remember doing Bible studies with my mom at 6 o'clock in the morning as a child, and sometimes I'll fall asleep doing the Bible study, but even though I strayed at some point, my foundation was very strong, and that brought me back as well, and also reminded me to raise my children that way.
So it seems that your children, sending them to a Christian school, and Stanborough Park School is an Adventist school, that they began to now impact you.
Definitely.
Yeah. So tell us about that journey. How did that turn around for you?
So my children, they go to the Adventist school, seven-day Adventist school, Stanborough Park School in Watford. And so they come home with Bible verses. I learned the verses with them. And not only that, I started studying even more to be able to teach them, because it's difficult for them to just, for me, I think if they just go to school and come back and that's it. I started learning the Bible more, and also so I can teach them and memorize the verses they needed to memorize, and not just memorizing, but learning the importance of your Christian life, of building, having a spiritual relationship with God. I always say to them, it's like having a relationship with mommy and daddy. You know, you wouldn't just call mommy, I'm hungry, or mommy, I'm this. You would want to sit with your mom, have a relationship with your mom. And then, of course, when it's lunchtime, mommy will give you food. So I always try to explain it. And for me to do that, I need to study the word for myself. I need to have a relationship with God to be able to teach my children. That's the only way. I mean, my kids are now, they're 10 and 11. At the time, they were 6 and 7, maybe. So they wouldn't just want to go and read the Bible for themselves. I believe in doing it with your children, and they would grow up that way.
And so were they kind of instrumental in helping you to move on to the next level in your spiritual life?
I think they did, because I don't know whether I would have just gone off on my own and done as much as I do now. But I would say definitely having the children, we do Bible studies together at home, and we do Bible quizzes together as well. And I wanted them to go the step further in their walk with Christ.
Okay. And so you mentioned about them influencing you. They were going to an Adventist school, and at the time you were not an Adventist. So how did that change? How did that come
about? So we go into the Adventist school. Adventists go to church on a Saturday. It wasn't something we were used to. So we decided, my children wanted to try the church. So I said, okay, we'll go to this Stanborough Park church. We'll just visit and see what it's like. So we visited the church. The children, I loved the church. I loved the Bible study the children get at the Sabbath school. My children love every Friday, Mommy, are we going to church the next day? My two little girls love the Sabbath school. My boys love the Sabbath school. Now, for the children to love it, it was just brilliant. And then they have their friends from school. It was everything I wanted. So the children are happy. They're happy learning the word of God. It was local to the school. They've got their friends. It was God. I would just say God brought us here. The children are happy. I'm happy. We're all growing. So we started going to the Stanborough Park Church full time. I love the ways that they are. They're very disciplined. Stanborough Adventists are very disciplined, and they're very consistent with the word of God. They're very different in the way they do things. For me, what I've seen as well is not just about your spiritual growth. It's also about your physical growth. So what you put in your body, you see your body as a whole, as a sanctuary. So I wanted to become a part of this community. So I started having my Bible study with Pastor Lolly. I wanted to become an Adventist myself. So I told my husband, I said, oh, this is what I want to do. And he was, you know, my husband is a Christian as well. He was born Christian, and he could see, he had come and to the church as well and watched the kids. My kids go to Adventurous Club, my boys as well. One of them is in Pathfinders as well. And he was like, this is really good for the kids. He could see the children, the way they've changed and the way they behave, everything. So he was happy for me to do that. So I started having baptismal classes with Pastor Lolly, and I got baptized in June 2019. So I am now an Adventist, and for me, it's the best decision I could have made for myself and for the children.
Sure. So the children were very much instrumental in shaping and directing your path, which is quite interesting as well.
Yes.
What were some of the testimonies that came out of the whole experience? Was there anything that happened in your journey, in your life as well, that really helped you to see God in a different way?
When I had my first son, when I was pregnant for my first son, I went for my first scan, and I was told I've got fibroid. And they said, it grows while the baby grows, and after the baby's grown, you would shrink back to normal. And I thought, it's not normal. If it's been mentioned, it's not normal. So my friend who used to invite me to church when I was at uni, I used to go to her church at the time. So I told her about it, and we just said, we're going to pray. I said, my body is a body of Christ, and that fibroid should not be a part of that. Shouldn't be a part of my body. So I started to pray that God would take it out. I prayed about it. Went for my next scan. It wasn't there.
Wow.
So for me, that was God coming to life for me. And I thought, wow, this is real. God is that real. It's not just the God that we read it and then we just forget about it. It is God's word is life. So
you saw that as a healing?
It was a healing. Yes. And also, it might sound a bit silly, but after my two boys, my husband said, should we try for a girl? I said, you can't guarantee you're going to have a girl. Then 5 years later, we tried for a girl. And prior to that, I said to the boys, we're going to start praying. Let's pray for a baby girl. And I said, God, I want you to show these children that prayers do work. I said, please show. And they prayed. And my little boys, they were so little at the time, they would pray, I want a baby sister. And we did get a baby sister. And I'm so grateful. I know, as I said, it might sound petty, but I wanted God to show the boys that he works and he answers prayers and that they can depend on him.
So I can really see now how it's getting a whole picture of you and what motivates you. Obviously, children have a major part in your life. They've shaped you, they've helped you, they've directed you. And I can see now when you go to Nigeria in these rural areas and you see the need there, that it definitely moves your heart.
Definitely, definitely. I think my children have made me, it has brought, I always say to my friends, all the fruits of the spirits come to life. I'm a bit more patient now. I am more loving and more giving. As I said, I never really wanted to start a charity. It was never part of my plan in life.
These come from, you know, natural experiences that you've had.
Yes, yes. And I think, you know, having the kids have just made me a bit more, a lot more selfless and a lot more giving. And I always want to help people who need who need help. And
so you mentioned it's, you know, 2017, you're getting all these donations, everything's coming in. How do you manage all of that? Do you get support? Do you have a team of people that you work with?
Yeah, so we have, the charity has three trustees. We have a midwife on board and we have a doctor on board as well. And then we have quite a lot of volunteers. So we do have people who help with the collections of donations. And I do a lot of the administration myself and some collections as well. And I deal with all the events, organising the events. So I do have a small team of people who help us to get all the work done.
But then you're talking about a charity that has such, you know, wide potentiality. And you're talking about reaching people in rural areas. And having been to certain parts of Africa myself, there's so many vast areas. What are your plans for the future in terms of how you're going to develop this? Because it seems as though you're just going to need so much support and manpower and volunteers and everything.
Yes, we do have some volunteers in Africa as well. So we have people who are going out to the villages. We tried to send a trustee with the volunteers out to the villages, but we do have people locally who do some work for us, so we would send things over, but we tend to go with them at the moment. We do know we're going to grow. I know God has great plans for the charity. We want to go around all of Africa, which might sound a bit ambitious, but it's God's charity. I let him to direct us. But at the moment, we are in Nigeria. We are looking to go into Ghana by next year. So that we are recruiting more volunteers. And I think going forward, we will recruit more staff as well who can manage in different countries or in Africa. But because we're just in Nigeria, we do have the people who are helping us in those areas at the moment. But going forward, definitely, because I know that we are growing. We've had so much growth in a year, and I know that it can only get better. So yes, we will be getting more people on board. We do need volunteers to help us with our social media. We need volunteers to help us with organising events as well. And we need people who also would like to, you know, people who can organise fundraising, who want to fundraise, maybe use their birthdays or any special events just to raise, either raise money or have people bring items to the charity.
And if they need to get in contact with you, they can do that on the website, Mamas in Need website.
Yes, yeah. We do have a website. Mm-hmm. So it's www.mamasinneed.org.uk. Mm-hmm. So people can send an email via the website to let us know if they're interested. People can also make donations. So they can get beddings. They can put money towards beddings or even get the beddings themselves.
It seems like it's a lot involved as well that takes place. And so how do you manage all of that with some of the challenges that you might go through as a Christian? You know, not necessarily your deep personal challenges, but some of the issues that you have to face, maybe dealing with people, with dealing with difficult times, dealing with disappointments. How has your whole experience prepared you in dealing with things like that?
For me, I have put my faith first, and I will not compromise that to be able just to make things work or to get the charity to move forward. For me, I always have to pray about it before I move forward. And people always say to me, so what's your next step? I pray about it. Believe it or not, God makes the next step available for us. We do have a plan in place. We have an annual plan of what we want to do. And we have people that we want to do that with us. But we have come across some challenges in terms of maybe people. We have had a lot of rejections, actually. We've approached people for support and we've had rejections. But again, one door shut and the next door open. So that's this experience we've had in the past year that we've been actively working. Yeah, but I'm very positive and I know that this is what I'm here to do. That's what I'm here. This is my calling. And I know that God will make a way for it to be successful.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned calling, and in the last few minutes that we have, you mentioned, you know, this is your calling. Mm-hmm. And how does that sustain you? I mean, obviously you've got four children as well. Mm-hmm. How do you, has that taught you any kind of spiritual values that has helped you grow as a Christian?
Yeah, definitely. I do run a small business online as well. It is difficult, obviously, with four children. But I think for me, it's depending on God. It has taught me to depend on God, and God always makes a way to get his job done, regardless of what you may think you have. If it's what God has called you to do, he would provide all the resources you need to get it done. He knows you as a person more than you know yourself. So for me, I think learning that over the years has helped me to not depend on my own physical or financial abilities, but to depend on God. It has been a chat. I mean, it's very easy to say, but you have to have that experience and that relationship to go with God to be able to get to a place where you can trust him and just let go and let God handle the situations. So, yeah.
And that teaches you quite a lot of things, doesn't it? Because you mentioned the word dependence, and you know, dependence is really leaning your whole weight on God
yes,
as well.
Yes.
But Nina, thank you so much for sharing your life with us and the wonderful ambitions that you have in the tremendous work that you plan to do. It seems like so many doors are open to you. Mm-hmm. And so you make a difference to one mother at a time. And I'm sure that it will be a great benefit to others as well who will be blessed by your ministry. So God bless you.
Thank you very much. God bless you too. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Good.